I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Head coach of BYU football joining us, and I've already been able to chat with Kalani once today, just in kind of the breakout sessions.
You can look at it more if you want.
He can't take it.
It's the only one I got of study it.
He gave him Scott just gave Connor an NFL playbook to kind of test the waters a little bit, see where he's at. Kalani Sitake joins us here on the program on 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Coach, long day for you. I appreciate you guys spending time, so much time with us, but you brought as many guys as you could. This is the last kind of hurrah for a normal independent media day, and it's going to change a lot next year, but you guys do it so big and do it so right. So your staff does a tremendous job, and I think it's a testament to what you've built as a program, but also how big that this is and how big BYU football has become. Do you feel that now?
Yeah, I mean, I felt that it's been that way for a long time, you know, and so the fact that we're going to have to do media day a little differently next year is a little bit sad to me, but we'll figure out something. Our administration, the leadership and the people involved with putting this together with the media, they'll figure something out. They're brilliant, and I'm sure we'll just adjust, but I love talking about our team and about our players and giving them an opportunity to be seen and for you guys to interview linemen like C-Pay here, you know what I mean? Give them some love. And
I love offensive linemen.
Bring them all over. Yeah. Yeah. Scott learned how to love offensive linemen.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
Time ago.
So you mentioned that you actually did coach offensive linemen. You mm-hmm. were an offensive player. Of course, you a great defensive mind. How valuable has that been for you as a head coach? And, you know, because there's some guys that – you know, you maybe take a guy like Lincoln Riley. You know, he's kind of an offensive-minded coach, and he's like, I'll just leave the defense to those other guys. How valuable has all that been for you?
Mm-hmm. Really valuable. I've coached every position position that's on football except for quarterback. But I've been involved in everything, and I just love the game, and just more than anything, I love being around our boys, you know. So for me, it's just – It's ball, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, we have really, really good coaches, but I think the background that I have is just when I played here for Lavelle and Norm Chow and the other coaches, they taught us football. They didn't just teach us the running back position or the fullback
right.
position. They taught us everything. Like, this is how a defense thinks. And when I was a player here, I didn't have just a relationship with only the offensive coaches. I knew the defensive guys really well, so when I became a GA, it was on the defensive side that I was a GA. Hmm. So, yeah, I don't think that you're limited here just to talk about one position. You know,
right.
so
you, yeah.
for me, I had a relationship with Coach Mitchell, with Coach Felt back in the day.
Right.
You know, and being able to talk about DB ball, and it's like when you have that, you have opportunity to be mentored by so many people, not just your position coach, and. I thought that's what happened everywhere. You
yeah.
know, I didn't realize that it was
it doesn't.
Unique. Yeah.
yeah.
And so I'm just trying to bring that back a little bit where even if you're just an offensive line coach, I want Coach Funk to be speaking to our quarterbacks and our DBs and be able to mentor them. And I think when you do that, everyone's doing pulling the right direction. Good things can happen.
I found that I learned more and I was a better player when I did understand the other side of the ball. Like, this is why the defense is doing this. This is how the technique is. This is what this coverage is designed to do. This is what this whole look, you know, and learned it from their eyes, and it just totally made it a lot better for me. So,
that's right. Zach Wilson did the same
yeah.
thing. Jaren Hall is doing the same thing, meeting with defensive coaches and asking them not just the DBs, but asking the D-line, what do you guys teach the D-linemen? So it's like they understand how
do
to
do you really teach defensive linemen, though? I mean, because it's just this gap or that gap, right?
You sound like a quarterback. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You go tell Luther
Ellis
that he doesn't
one
know anything about that,
him.
Right?
That's yeah. the thing. You're going to have to face Coach Ellis again this year and go, oh, yeah. I heard your meetings were 10 minutes long. You just say gap A and gap B, and it should have only been 5 minutes.
I totally yeah, you say that to
it. It's like, go get brown ball. Right? So whoever has this ball, you go get.
Do you say like slow to like have the lead?
You're going to get yourself in trouble start with every D lineman out there. No, it's there's a lot of details and intricacies to that, too. But maybe not as much as the O-line, right?
Connor's eating up Scott's old playbook.
He is. He's reading it.
He's loving it. Coaches, we get through to it. We talked to a handful of players, and we've asked them about – because I know that they have these player-owned practices, and they're getting together, and they're having discussions about what is it that we want to do. And I know you put it on your guys to make goals for themselves, get in there. Leadership, get in there, and let's talk about what your guys want to do. What's – and a lot of them, including Connor, said, look, we have – for us, we say a New Year's Six Bowl is absolutely a possibility for us. Is that something for you that you guys look at and go, hey, here's the path to that?
Well, we have goals for a reason, right? And so why have goals when it's just – if you don't ever talk about it. And so, C-Pay mentioned some of the goals that we have, and I believe you can talk things into happening, you know. Obviously, Tom Homo thought that there'd be a P5 conference invite sometime soon, and it took, 12 years or 10 years for that to happen, and here we are. So the law of attraction is real. When you talk about things and you're about things and success and maybe you don't get the goal that you want, but I think you can live with the results if you have something to aim for. And I want our guys to talk about the NFL. I want them to realize that there's an option to play in the NFL if you do things the right way here. And I need to provide an environment where the NFL can be real for them. And so that's my job. My job is to get them to play at their best and get them to perform at their best and aim high for the sky, and we'll see what happens.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you recruit players and you talk about the NFL as a priority, How high a priority is that for players you recruit? Is it the same for all of them, or do some of them have, you know, I want an education, or some of them just want to come to BYU? Where does going to the next level rank with players that you recruit?
Well, I think the key is how important is the NFL to the head coach and the coaches, right? And so if we're talking about it, then it obviously is important to us. But you can probably pull every high school player out there right now and that's playing football and wants to go to college, and you ask them who wants to play in the NFL, and it'd probably be 100%.
Right.
Everyone raise their hands. Well, somewhere along the line it changes, you know, but I think our players, if you ask them, all 123 of them, who wants to play in the NFL, they all would raise their hand. And so how am I going to crush their dreams? Let's build off of that, right? That's their dream to get to the NFL, so let's build on it. And you don't have to play all 4 years and start all 4 years as a freshman to get to the league. Let's see what your path will be. And then when that door is not an option and when that door slams shut, maybe they play in the NFL. They have to think about afterwards as well. So you have something that you want to do. It's inevitable. Football's going to end for them. It does for everyone.
It ends for everyone.
And usually it ends when you don't want it to, unless you're Tom Brady, right? And he's the only one that pretty much can call his own shots. For everyone else, everyone other than him is probably, hey, it's going to end when you wish it. You had more time to play.
Somebody else tells you you're done.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. But until that happens, we need to have everything in line for them and have a plan for afterwards and make sure that there's there's passion for something else other than football.
We were I was talking with A-Rod earlier, your offensive coordinator, obviously, and this staff has been together like a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few that's returning everybody again this year. And I asked him, what do you attribute that to? And he said, Kalani. And then he wanted to just keep it at that and then be like, next question. But he said, we love working for this guy. So what is it that you do that gets those guys to say the loyalty is going to be there forever? Or what is it that you guys do as a staff because you want to make sure that best practices are there? And if mm-hmm. people want to progress in their career and it's over there, you'd encourage them to do it. But, you know, if we're here, we're gonna achieve greatness. What do you cultivate with guys wanting to keep that loyalty?
Well, I don't think it's just me. I mean, if something that I can provide for our coaches and our players is autonomy. I can give them the power to do things. And there's a book called Drive that Daniel Pink wrote, and he talked about three things that can cause great motivation and drive, and that's if you provide an opportunity for them to have purpose, and opportunity to provide mastery and autonomy, right? And so I trust them. I trust A-Rod with the offense. I trust my coaches. They don't have to look over their shoulder and see me micromanaging them. I want them to know that I trust them, and if there's something that I see that it could be changed, I don't want to embarrass them. I talk to them directly. I don't have to do it in a staff meeting where I'm beating everybody up about it. I just go talk to them, and I think the communication part is key for us. And listen, I played football, and the last thing I want, I couldn't stand is when I didn't know what the coach was thinking. So to me, it's like, hey, coaches, let the players know where they stand, good or bad.
Right.
Be transparent so they don't have to guess on what you're thinking.
Right.
And there's no surprises. And then for my coaches, it's got to be the same, right?
Yeah.
So they know what I'm thinking. Hey, listen, this is how I feel. This is what I'm seeing. And then I have to just trust them to do their part too. My coaches are given that opportunity to have those three things, good things happen. And I'm lucky as a head coach to have A-Rod here. And I played, he's a teammate of mine. We coached together in Southern Utah. We were as a GA, I followed him. So it's like we've been together as a teammates to coaching. We were 10 years. I was with him at Utah, together with him for 10 years. And, this for me, it's like this. It's more than just we work together. It's like this is my boy. These are my guys.
I love that because I saw that with Coach Shula. Guy won more games than anyone in the NFL, and he made you, like you talk about trust. You had to call your own plays in practice, and he goes, "I can have the best plays in the world, but if you can't run them, they don't work." And he gave you that space, that autonomy, as you talk about, to develop and to grow and to flourish. And he definitely let you know how he thought or where he was on things. But I love that. And Ryan Smith was talking about that yesterday with the Jazz. You know what? He says, look, I hired Danny Ainge. I'm going to let him be Danny Ainge. And so I think that's wonderful. Really quickly, you talk about, players and not quashing a dream for them. How effective is that, and has that been for you to talk to players to say, maybe you should enter the transfer portal? Mm-hmm. And have those conversations. Has that been a good thing for you, and how have you felt about that?
Well, I think the direct feedback is a gift. So I don't mind telling players. Sometimes people look at feedback as just a positive thing. No. If they're not doing what you want them to, and they're not behaving the way you want them to, and they're not producing the way they want to, and they're not happy, I think it's okay for me to tell them that. I think this generation especially, they appreciate that. And so for me, it's like, let's talk about where you're at, if you're happy, and what you want to do with life, right? And sometimes it's understanding your role here at BYU, and other times it's like, coach, I'm an upperclassman, I'm behind underclassmen here, I want to play in the NFL, I gotta be a starter for that to happen. I was like, I totally understand and I get it. But then now they see that I'm invested in them as a person, not just as a football player for me here. I mean, there's guys that left our program, and I could easily not sign the waiver. And you're talking about transfer portal. I've signed everyone's waiver that's left here. And those people have turned around and played against us. Because it's not just about me, though. It's about them, right? So we've had players that have gone up to you, and I sign a waiver, no problem. They play against us. And and they find ways to compete against us. And so people say, well, that's not right. It's right for the kid, right? And so if I'm telling recruits, hey, I want to care about you and love you, then shouldn't I care about them even if they're not in our jersey, right? That's the key.
Kalani cool. Sitake, head coach, BOU football, right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It was fun to see you at the golf tournament with Kyle.
That was fun.
Kyle.
My golf game sucks still, but I had fun. A good time.
Tell everybody it was amazing. They're not going to go back and see the footage. It's fine.
Yeah.
All the footage I had of you was hitting it, and they wouldn't follow the ball. It was perfect.
That's right. And then I pointed to the middle of the fairway.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah. And it's actually hitting a tree on the side.
Kalani, we appreciate it. We wish just the most health for your players this year. And just
you guys
being able to stay in there. Because it's the best to watch a bunch of healthy guys playing football, the best of their ability. So.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. Good taking a break. Here. We'll come back. More to go. Unravel continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.